Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and May is Better Sleep Month, and we're going to be talking with Jeremy Mao about the sleep services available here at Van Deest Medical Center. Before we do, I have just a couple of announcements. One, I want to recap, last week was National Hospital Week, and what a great week we had celebrating our caregivers. Our theme was, we are healthcare stars, and in addition to National Hospital Week, we were celebrating our Top 100 Critical Access Hospital Award. This is the second year in a row we have received that. And then also our five-star patient survey rating. So it was really just over-the-top celebration for Hospital Week. We had Kate's Cookies on site here. We finished the week with Miss Casey's Donut Delights. And I know we had community members that supported those food trucks as well, which was great. We did community cleanup during the week. We offered wellness screenings to our employees. We had a couple of just fun activities. There was a little scavenger hunt that employees could participate in. And I will have to say, one of the highlights that I have heard from our employees was we had rented two massage chairs at the end of the week on Thursday and Friday, and employees could sign up for a 10-minute slot to go in. And these massage chairs were deluxe, and our staff loved that. It was just a nice little retreat for them to go in, relax, and really come back out just energized and ready to take on the day again. So really a great week. And again, just want to thank our caregivers for all that they do and thank our communities for all your support as well. And something new to Hospital Week, on Tuesday we held an open house where we highlighted and showcased many of our services here at Van Deest Medical Center. And for those that were in attendance, they could visit the different booths and get their punch cards signed off and then could be entered into a drawing. We gave out several different prizes, and I do want to announce our winners. Pat Powers with KQWC won a t-shirt. Larry Schultz Jr. won a Van Deest Medical Center hat. Angela Rottering won a beach towel. Tammy Greenfield won one of our Van Deest Medical Center tumblers. And Alicia Krauthammel was the winner of one of our blankets. So I do want to thank those that attended the open house. Some great information was shared, and our managers and staff that helped to host that really made it fun and interactive, and it was a good time. An announcement that I do want to make for an upcoming event that we have going on. Mark your calendars, the next Seniors and Law Enforcement Together meeting, which is SALT. We call them SALT meetings. That's the acronym. Will be held Thursday, June 6th at the Stanhope Community Center. So these meetings begin at 9 o'clock. We have a light breakfast, serve some coffee. We offer free blood pressure checks from our hospital. And then the meeting itself gets underway at 9:30. And we have updates from local and county law enforcement officers, as well as reports from county agencies, including the hospital, and then our communities throughout Hamilton County. So as we're getting into the summer season, there's definitely celebrations going on in most of our communities throughout Hamilton County. So I expect that we'll have lots of updates and announcements at this June meeting. We follow with the program, and this one is going to feature Mark Domes. He is actually one of our volunteers at the hospital, and he is going to be sharing one of his recent travel programs, and it's entitled Untamed Patagonia, Argentina, and Chile. And Mark actually presented this program for our volunteer appreciation in April, and He does a fantastic job. If you have not heard him share one of his travel programs, you don't want to miss it. It's as if you're there traveling with him. And really, this is a fantastic program. So we hope that you will join us. I want to mention SALT meetings are free and open to the public. The next one is Thursday, June 6th, beginning at 9 o'clock at the Stanhope Community Center. And SALT meetings are held every other month. We do hold them at different locations throughout Hamilton County. And with that, I think we'll get started into our program. As I mentioned, May is Better Sleep Month, and we want to take this opportunity to raise awareness about the benefits of better sleep and how poor sleep can significantly disrupt our lives. As with diet and exercise, sleep is critical to our physical, emotional, and mental health. To start, here are some alarming sleep statistics. Approximately 60 million and up to 70 million Americans suffer from some form of sleep disorder. Of that, an estimated 22 million live with moderate to severe sleep apnea, which is a disruption of breathing while asleep. That is one in 15 people who experience symptoms of sleep apnea. When you hear sleep apnea statistics, it's easy to see why so many people are missing quality sleep and why seeking treatment for sleep apnea is so important. To diagnose sleep apnea or other sleep disorders, a patient must undergo a sleep study. This is done in a sleep lab, with the patient spending the night in lab at the hospital while the equipment records the necessary physiological data. Or we have home sleep testing, which is available. Our hospital is accredited for both in-house sleep labs and for home sleep testing. And this is unattended. It's a sleep study that occurs in the patient's home. So here to discuss home sleep studies, the difference between in-home and in-lab testing, and what may be necessary to participate is Jeremy Mao, Respiratory Care Manager at Van Deese Medical Center. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Lori. Thank you for having me on here again. We've got some exciting stuff to talk about.
We do. So let's start right in.
You bet. Well, you mentioned those home sleep studies, and I think that's what I'm most excited about. You know, people in general don't realize how important sleep is. You know, if you get 8 hours a night, which would be ideal, but obviously not everybody does, some more, some less, but 8 hours a day, that's a third of your life spent sleeping. That's how important this is. And like I mentioned, those home sleep studies is really the first, maybe second step, and we'll talk about maybe the first step later, but the second step, that home sleep is so easy to do, and I'm excited about it because we got a new home sleep device here 3-4 months ago that's been working so awesome for patients. We had one before that did work well. We did it a lot of patients that way. But this new one just seems to work. I mean, it's almost flawless. I mean, it's easier to put on, easier to download the data, easier for the doctor that gives the interpretation. The turnaround time is so much. I mean, it's sometimes within the next day versus a week later. And so it's just been a tremendous asset for us to get this. So I'm really excited, and we're sending out a bunch of them. We've got 3 units available. So there's almost no wait time for a patient once they, you know, we get those orders and stuff going. So it's really been a great thing for us here.
I love that you are sharing this and that we have kind of this new availability to share with patients and with listeners. And most importantly to me, I think, is the sheer convenience of it. So
for
patients
sure
do not have to come into the hospital in a room that's foreign to them. They can actually potentially
correct
do that first step at home.
Yeah. And you know, it's almost probably greater than 9 out of 10 times that the first night study is done at home. Sometimes Medicare, or if patients already have CPAP and stuff at home, then they would come into the hospital for either one night only or whatnot. But most of the time, if you're starting fresh with nothing, yeah, you're going to be able to do this first night at home in your own bed, sleeping next to your own teddy bear, whatever. you can do this all by yourself. And you know, if that shows a problem, then of course we want to work on that problem, fix that problem, find out what to do for that problem. And that would require coming into the sleep lab here at the hospital. But again, it's not a patient room. It's a nice bed, nice quiet room. We do have, you know, you are hooked up to some stuff, obviously, you know, to monitor your sleep, but it's so much better than just a regular hospital patient room kind of thing. So it's really a good service here that we provide as well.
It is an excellent service, and many people don't even know where these sleep rooms are. Like you said, it is not one of our hospital exam rooms.
Correct.
It's actually away from the patient exam rooms, kind of tucked away.
It really is. I mean, it's literally, you're in your own wing of the hospital almost at night. So that's really nice for patients to be able to do that.
Yes. So you talked about, you know, during a study, obviously patients are hooked up or recording things.
Sure.
What types of things are being monitored during a sleep
study?
Yeah,
you bet. So that, like I mentioned, the first one, like I said, is the home sleep study. So you're going to have just a little sensor on your chest that has a microphone in it to hear if you're snoring. It's got a position sensor, so it knows whether you're on your left side, your right side, or your back. The thing is basically just a wristwatch that you wear that has a little probe on the end of your finger that measures your heart rate and your oxygen level. And that also the chest piece will, you know, respiratory rate kind of thing too. So those are kind of what we measure at home to see, again, whether there is a problem. If the machine kind of detects that, yes, there is a problem, you're either stopping breathing, your heart rate's going way down, your oxygen level going way down, okay, that's going to tell us, you know, you probably have a problem, so you come into the hospital. Then they do the full sleep study, and you'll have those same parameters that I just mentioned, but they'll also measure leg movement, you know, whether your legs are flopping around at night.
Twitching.
They'll measure,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Brain waves. You'll have a different type of snore sensor. But so you do have a few more wires, I guess, hooked up to you, which a lot of people kind of, when they hear that, go, oh, well, how am I supposed to fall asleep with that? But if you have an issue, a real true sleep issue, people are out like a light. Well, even with all that stuff on, they're just out. They don't have a problem with it at all.
I am such a believer in this service, and I know there are so many people that don't sleep well, and it is so critical to our health. So I love kind of going through the details, because people, just if they know what to expect, it makes them more comfortable.
For sure.
And most people know, have a pretty good idea if they don't sleep well, or
yeah,
it's maybe a spouse that's...
Exactly. And that's kind of, you know, people ask, well, how do I know if I need this? Well, honestly, a lot of the referrals come from the spouses or significant others, whoever that is, because they're tired of hearing you snore and waking them up all night long. And so they're like, hey, you need to go to the doctor and get this thing checked out. So, you know, like I said before, the home sleep is kind of the second step. The first step would be going to your provider. You're going to go in there. You're going to say, hey, doc, you know, my wife says this, my husband says this, whoever says this. I don't know, you know, I'm falling asleep all day long. I wake up, I got headaches. I just don't feel rested. I know I catch myself waking myself up snoring. You know, doc, I've got this high blood pressure. I'm overweight. I got a bigger neck. You know, all of those things can be, you know, somewhat corrected or a part of sleep apnea. And so that would be the first step then, is that doctor saying, hey, you know what, let's check out your sleep. Let's start with this home sleep study and see where that takes us.
Very good. So that is great that you touched on kind of signs, symptoms. Are there some factors that actually increase the risk of sleep apnea?
Well, right. So, you know, the biggest ones, I mean, alcohol intake, you know, nobody breathes well. When you fall asleep, you pass out, you whatever. So alcohol, you know, can play a big role in that. Obesity is probably one of the bigger ones, just because if you think about it, you fall asleep on your back or whatever, and your neck, with a bigger neck, whether it's obesity or just that big neck, you know, the extra weight, you know, can kind of pull that jaw down, and that's going to kind of make that tongue slide back, so to speak, and obstruct that airway. There are some neurological issues that could be happening as well. And those, again, we can find that out through these sleep studies that can be corrected. So those are, you know, those are all things that you, you know, you'd like to get corrected to enjoy your night's sleep.
Have a restful night.
Exactly. Wake up feeling rested. You know, I still say one of our best stories is we had a patient who had the sleep study and was so used to not getting good sleep that they complained actually of getting a good night's sleep. She said, well, I usually sleep 10 hours a day and I'm wired. I'm ready to go after like 4 or 5 hours now. I don't know if I like that. And it's just like, that's because you got 4 or 5 hours of good sleep instead of 10 hours of terrible sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that story of a patient not, you know, suddenly recognizing how important it is to get a good night's sleep.
It so emphasizes the point. I agree.
For sure. Yeah.
So if a person goes to their primary care provider, shares kind of what they're experiencing, we get them set up for...
Sure. Yeah. So it is, you know, there is a little bit of a process mm-hmm. because, of course, everybody has insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insurance has to get involved. So, you know, you're going to go to your doctor, your provider, whoever, and say, hey, you know what, let's do this. That the provider is going to order whatever test, whether it's the home sleep or the CPAP study or the second night study. That order is going to get sent to our prior authorization to check with your insurance to make sure that, you know, everything's good there. You're going to get a call from a financial counselor to, you know, if you have deductibles, you know, most insurance pays for this. But, you know, if you have deductibles or co-pays, things like that, of course, you know, that's going to have to come out of there. So that financial counselor will go through that with you. So that way you're going to kind of know up front what mm-hmm. you're going to be responsible for. And then, you know, you're going to get a call from my department, the sleep department, and we're going to say, hey, when do you want to come pick this thing up? We can do it 7 days a week. We can do daytime. We can do nighttime. So it's you come pick this home device up, take it home one night, bring it back, drop it on the front desk the next day, and away you go. So it's a simple, easy process to do, you know, once that ball gets rolling. Mm-hmm. So it does take a little bit of time to get that process started, but once we've got our order to do this, like I said, we can call you. You can come, you know, most of the time you can just about come in the same day we call you if it works for you. Take it home, use it the one night, bring it back. A lot of times we'll have those results that next day, even bring it back. But mm-hmm. so it usually happens pretty quickly from there. So
excellent. Yes, the process sounds so slick. And of course, you know, we want people to go through that prior approval and authorization only helps the patient. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes that does take a little bit of time.
It can,
but
yes.
Once we get through that hoop, it sounds like it's very simple.
Yeah. It's good, you know, and it's nice because we, you know, those test results go to a board certified sleep doctor over in Fort Dodge. So he's going to be the one that interprets those studies. Been doing it for, you know, 100 years, whatever. So, you know, you've got somebody who knows what they're doing, as well as a tech that's going to score that test. Been doing it for, I think, 30 some years. So she knows what she's doing too. So yeah, you know, and then those results are going to come back to your provider, whoever ordered that test, and that's who you'll get your results from. So it's, again, pretty slick process that works its way through.
Okay, Jeremy, would there be any precursors or tests that can be performed prior to a sleep study?
Yeah, actually, that's a great lead in to, we have a scale, what's called the Epworth Sleepiness Scale. So basically there's like 8 questions that you're going to answer with a 0 to 3, with 0 being the chance that you would never fall asleep or doze off, and 3 being a high likelihood that you would doze off during this activity. Those activities are, you know, watching TV, sitting and reading, sitting inactive in a public place, as a passenger in a car for maybe an hour, lying down to rest in the afternoon, sitting and talking to someone, sitting quietly after lunch, or maybe in a car while stopped at traffic. Basically, you're going to answer all of those questions with a, like I said, a 0 to 3. And the higher your number, the more likely maybe it is that you have an issue with sleep. We kind of like to gauge it at about a 10. So if you answer those 8 questions and your number comes out at 10 or above, that's probably a good opportunity to say, go to your doctor and say, hey, look, I took this little test here. I scored a 15 or a 20 on it. It's like, maybe we need to get something looked at. And that's just a really good scale of, you know, how tired are you? You know, you should be wide awake all day long, right? I mean, if you had a good night's sleep, mm-hmm. you should not be driving down the road and fall asleep in your car.
Right.
You shouldn't just be sitting across the table from somebody talking and fall asleep. I mean, that's not normal. If you're doing those things or have a higher likelihood to do those, then maybe you're not getting good night's sleep, and that would be something that we want to go check out then.
That is a great baseline. I know we have that information available in brochures that we give to patients, but I would encourage people that are possibly listening to the program and hearing this, if you have any idea that you may be a person that would qualify for a sleep study, it can be found even online.
Yeah,
and basically, if you have even a moderate or high chance in any of those categories,
right,
it's probably going to make you a candidate.
For sure. Yeah. It really, you know, as I read through that list, I'm thinking in the back of my head, there might be some of those I may even qualify for, right? So it's probably not a huge get to get above 10, you know, 10 or above. And yes, that's just a scale. Again, that's the Epworth Sleepiness Scale. Yeah, you can Google that and find that online to take a peek at it. But, you know, you're going to know. How do you feel? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you got a good night's sleep? Do you never feel like you get sleep? Are you tired all the time? You're going to probably score high on that scale. Even if you don't take the scale, go talk to your provider and say, I'm just not feeling like I'm getting restful sleep.
Right.
And it's as easy as that.
Now, Jeremy, you mentioned that the sleep study results get evaluated. We actually partner with a company to do the sleep studies.
We do. Yeah. So we've been with Midwest Sleep Services. They're out of Mason City. We've been with them for, probably close to 20 years. In fact, we just did our hospital open house last week, and I had a member from that Midwest Sleep come down here, and they're just great people to work with. They have a technician, Stacy, that comes here to do the overnight studies at the hospital here, and she too has been with them for probably close to 20 years and has been, you know, pretty much the person that comes here to do the in lab, we call them, or the in hospital studies. The home sleep studies, again, that's part of Midwest. We use their equipment, and it's one of their techs who score the study. But yeah, they've just been a great, great partner to have to utilize. They help us out with that accreditation process you mentioned. They as well are accredited. So we have a company that we use that's accredited as well as us. So yeah, they've just been a great asset for us to have.
It is. This is a top-notch service line, and I'm glad you mentioned that was great having one of their reps come
for
our
open
house.
It was. Todd's awesome. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, and I got to visit with Todd a little bit, and prior to Todd, we had Francis that would come.
Yep.
Which,
and he's still with them, too.
Yes.
He's the one who comes and helps out with the accreditation process, and actually, he's got his kids that kind of run the show in the backside now, too, so they'll probably be taking over once Francis decides to finally retire and hang it up.
Yeah, I had to share with Todd last week that I had previously, you know, spoken and worked with Francis. He used to come even and do the radio shows, and I called him the God of Sleep because
he knows
was
it all.
Just all knowing about it.
He does do that, yes.
Terrific, terrific company. So, Jeremy, people have questions or want more information regarding our sleep services here at the hospital. Where can we direct them?
Sure. Well, our department, the respiratory department, does the sleep portion of that as well. Our phone number is 515-832-7870. And if you happen to be get Mark Hislop, who works for us in our department. He is actually a board-certified sleep tech as well. So if you happen to get him when you call, let me tell you, ask him whatever you want, because he's kind of like Francis. I think the guy knows everything there is about sleep. So he'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have, as well as myself or my other worker, Christy, works here too. And she's been really good about answering whatever questions anybody might have as well. So anybody in our department, if you call that number, 832-7870, we can answer any of those questions that you might have.
Fantastic. Jeremy, thank you for being on the program today. I can't stress enough. I mean, we just want to promote good sleep. And for sure, sleep studies are available. As we've mentioned, the Sleep Lab here at Van Deese Medical Center is an accredited program. It is staffed by a nationally credentialed registered sleep technologist. And our hospital is also accredited for our home sleep testing. So terrific opportunities there, and good sleep support. Good health. So if you have any questions, again, Jeremy said he and his team are available. You can call 515-832-7870.
Lori, thank you very much for having me on again. I think this is about the fifth, sixth, seventh year we've done this. And you know what? I think we need to keep doing it every year, because it's just that important for people to keep trying to get that good sleep, get that word out there. So I think it's been good.
I think so too, and I thank you for being on the show. You're just a pro at it anymore, Jeremy.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yes. Thanks again, and that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.